Jamil on the beat. What is going on? Welcome to the podcast, the Correctly Mistaken Podcast. I'm your host, your boy Wes Osei. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, rate, review. I think you have to subscribe first before you can rate, review. I don't know. Actually, I do know, but I always get it all mixed up. Appreciate you doing so. Appreciate your time. Hope everybody had a good week. The year is going by very, very fast. We are in May already, the fifth month of the year, 7 months left in 2021. Hope whatever you are doing this year, you're doing it to the fullest of your ability. You're working hard, you're getting shit done, and whatever you're doing. Whatever walk of life, if you're working a job, if you're an entrepreneur, whatever you're doing, I hope you're doing it to the best of your ability. Because it's very important nowadays to make sure that we're doing things to the best of our ability, because there's a lot of changes going on. And people always looking for replacements or something cheaper or something that can make things easier, even automation as they're going now. In some ways, automation is inevitable. But there are also some places where you can still be deemed as invaluable as a human. So make sure whatever you're doing, if it's in your control, do what you're doing to the very best of your ability. And if you do that, let the chips fall where they may. But you know you did the best that you can do to get the job done. Most importantly for yourself, and then, well, even more important than that, for the ones that you love and the ones that you care for. I don't know where that came from, but it just came to me to say it. So do what you're doing, whatever it is, to the very best of your ability. If it's positive. Now, if you like a bank robber or something, I'm not going to tell you to rob banks to the best of your ability or to, you know, run some type of insurance scam to the best of your ability. I'm not with that. But if you're doing something positive or you're working and you're doing something that's going to bring, that could possibly bring results to you and great results that can take you and your family to different heights, do it to the best of your ability. Now, my phrase of choice for this week, my phrase of choice is so far gone. So far gone. Now, when we think about that, we say there's just a point of no return. There's a place where you can be so far gone, where you're so far out there in what you're doing and how you're going about your business. Can you even come back to a point where there can be actual credible dialogue that can go on, that can actually get stuff done for this country? And when I'm talking about so far gone, I'm talking about today's modern Republican Party. Today's modern Republican Party, I believe, is so far gone. What can be done possibly? What can be done? I know I can't talk, but I love to do so anyway. But what can be done? Because as you see, they have decided upon arrival of Joe Biden in office to be the opposition party, to the point where they're so far gone, the things that the American people agree on, that the American people see, is something that is here to help, they have a problem with that as well. And what I mean by that is because of the fact they have drawn a line where it seems where Donald Trump has brought something out of this party. And let's be clear. Donald Trump wasn't the catalyst. He wasn't the one that started this. He wasn't the one that brought this about. He was just the one that was able to get in, stir it up, and then it all came out because they had somebody from a place of power, a bully pulpit. And what bigger pulpit to have than the President of the United States platform? If you have somebody like that, that gives you that type of confidence and that negative emboldenedness to feel as if you can walk out your hateful ways, you're going to do so. And it was almost to the part where you see now, instead of them saying, oh, wow, whew, crazy 4 years, crazy president, let's get back to something more normal. Let's, you know, start figuring out ways that we can work together as a country to come together to move forward. No. It's as if they took his persona. They took the way he is, and they're trying to use that. They're trying to use who he is and double down on their hateful rhetoric and the rhetoric that isn't true and the rhetoric that does nothing but divide us as a country. And as you can see, two different parties, when one party is trying to work and another party is trying to give you culture wars all day long. Like recently when the new American Jobs Plan, and if you look into it, there was something that came out about meat or meat intake or beef or whatever the case may be. And the story became, it was a research paper that somebody researched asking what it would look like or some type of way if we had less meat consumption, what would it look like? And they were trying to act as if that report or that research report, something that happened with Joe Biden wasn't even in office. But this was something that they actually reported as if he was putting this into the American Jobs Plan when he was looking to lower people's meat consumption. As if, once again, trying to... See what the Republicans do is they absolutely, positively, they have no platform. None. They don't have anything. They have nothing that they can run on and appeal to voters, because everything that they believe in, voters don't care for. Voters don't agree with. It's not something that is a popular opinion. Nothing they do is popular. So the Republicans are doing and what they, and they feel the only way. See, and you would think when you lose an election and the voters have chosen another party, you tell yourself as the people that lost, okay, we lost, but what can we do next time to appeal to voters in order to win? That's usually how it goes in terms of the after effects after losing the election. You're trying to figure out the next time around what can be done differently so you can win. How do you appeal to the people that are voting to make them know, hey, we are the ones that are going to do something for you? But see, not the Republican Party. No. We're not trying to do anything. We don't have a platform. So what we're going to do is we're going to scare the shit out of you. And that's what they constantly do. They constantly, well, even to the point now, will make up stories as if Joe Biden was trying to take away our meat, our beef intake, that Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, that she was selling her books to immigrant children. That story just came out, that she was selling books because one copy of her book got into a hand of an immigrant child down at the border. And then you heard right-wing media and right-wing politicians all saying, oh, whoa, whoa, Even the RNC chair. What is Kamala Harris doing? Why do they have her book? Is she selling her book to immigrant children? Is he making a profit off of them? And then the thing is, they actually go and report it because they have a national, mainstream news organization that puts it on as news in Fox News. It's still amazing to me how they have a national mainstream media news network that will literally put up lies. Last year's election that Joe Biden won by 7 million votes. Electoral College of 306 to 232. And Fox News over 800 times. Almost 800 times. Referred to the election being in question. As if that Joe Biden didn't win legitimately. They have literally took off the face, and Donald Trump was the one, but he's gone. He's irrelevant. And you see what's still going on now. The lies, the untruths, the misinformation. We are in a time of age where people are okay with giving you misinformation. We are at a point where we can't even agree on the facts. The global pandemic, coronavirus, wear a mask. It's deadly. It's a virus. No, it's not. I want to be free. It's killed 550,000 people. No, it hasn't. It's that we can't agree on the facts because we have one party of this country. One of the major two political parties have decided that what they are going to do is they're not looking to appeal to voters. They're not looking to appeal because this country is changing. The demographics is changing. By the year 2042, the white people will be a minority. So they're not looking to appeal and to change. They're looking to double down. And what can they do to form minority rule? Where you have the 45% dictating what the 55% does. That's what they're looking to do. They don't want to appeal to anybody. So what do you see that they're doing now with the voter suppression rules? Literally putting in rules based off a lie. The president of the United States, well, I'm sorry, the 45th president of the United States, as he so graciously likes to refer to himself as, because he can't stand the fact that he's a loser and that he's the former president. So they always say the 45th president of the United States. Because off of his lie that the election was stolen based on a lie, it was not the truth. They had three recounts in Georgia and audits, and it came out that Joe Biden still won the state. But, and even Kemp, the governor, comes out and says, we need more voter security. No, you don't. And see, and that was the case. Why would you come out and just say, in your state, that the election was stolen? Just say that the election wasn't ran right. But he didn't say that, right? Governor Kemp did not say that. Because at the end of the day, he still wants these rules to pass because it wasn't the issue of voter security. It was the issue of all the people who came out. And the people who came out were people that did not look like them and was not going to most likely vote for the party that they are a part of. So what do they say they're going to do? They want to figure out ways to make it more difficult. And see, the way they do these things, the Republican Party, is that they want to put you in a frenzy, in a fearful frenzy, whip up the base, throw the red meat. And see, what makes it so frustrating, that makes it really, really frustrating, is the fact that once they have to go back on air, Fox News, and all this misinformation. Can think about it. The reason why they're doing voter suppression is off misinformation. They're telling the public lies to be able to get this stuff done. And then what Fox News does when they double down and they agree with the lie, or they come out and say something as the Joe Biden situation with the American Families, the American Jobs Act, not having the truth about trying to take your meat, or something in terms of Joe Biden was looking to try to take people's meat intake down to like 4 pounds a year, whatever the case may be, saying, hey, getting to the point where you have states like Idaho, the governor talking about we got beef with that, not in Texas, that we're not going to be doing that in Texas, and all these other states, the one congresswoman talking about stay out of my kitchen, Joe. They literally manufacture and bring up, they manufacture and bring to light fake stories that are not even true. They're not nowhere near any factual truth to them at all. They can be debunked over and over and over. But the thing is, and people need to understand this, when they come out and they say, we have to detract what we said or have to change and make a correction, less people see that than the people that actually saw you put the statement out in the time when it aired. And they know that. They know it. And that's why they know it. Let's go back here and make a correction. But usually 9 times out of 10, less people see the correction than actually see what you said when you first said it on air. Because see, this is the thing about having power with the Republican Party. That's all it is. They want to consolidate power. They don't want to help. They don't want to assist. And see, people always say this too, and let's get into this a little bit. Yes, the government doesn't need to be in everybody's pockets or in everybody's business and trying to be invasive and intrusive. Yes, we all know that nobody wants a government to control and dictate. And they're not trying to do so. But at the same time, when we have these situations that are going on in terms of a pandemic, a global recession, our economy was in the tank over the past year, and the government can do something about it, they can help. Why not help? You see the other side. And even now, in the American Jobs Plan, that's money towards child poverty, education. There's several different things in that plan that Joe Biden has announced that's going to bring in a lot of jobs. And the Republicans, what they want to say is, that's not infrastructure. Those things aren't infrastructure. What do you mean? The infrastructure is how this country operates. And what they want to say is, well, what part of that money or that plan that you don't agree with? You don't agree with money towards childhood poverty, towards education, towards people getting broadband all over the country, access in rural areas to internet? Tell me, Senator, Republican Senator, what one of those issues that you have a problem with? And they can't never have a problem with it. There's nothing they can say about it. All they can say, well, it isn't infrastructure. That isn't something. That isn't actually infrastructure. That's a whole other thing. They're trying to mask it. Who cares if they're trying to mask it, right? Who cares? Who cares? They're still trying to help. They're still trying to do something. So who cares if they're putting it into the American Jobs Plan? Because at the end of the day, the infrastructure is the base of how everything runs and works. And you can figure out a way that people don't have to make a decision between staying at home because childcare is too expensive, instead of going out to the economy, getting a job, and be able to assist and be a productive working member of society. They have to make a choice between their children or their elderly family in order to work. I had myself that situation dealing with my older grandparents. God rest their souls. They went on home to heaven. But I had to sit back and have to scale back myself and take care of them because there was nobody that, no kind of expense or anything that's going to come to help assist with that process because it's too expensive to hire a home nurse or somebody to come do it. So you got to do it yourself, but at the same time, you have to make a choice. But why do we have to make those choices? If the government can help and step in and assist, what's the problem with that? There isn't. The situation is one party doesn't want to help you at all. And see, people always want to act as if that I'm talking Democrats are perfect. Democrats, no. Democrats have their own issues. But at least to their core, they want to have a government that can help and assist people. When you have an other side, an opposition who has shown that they don't even want democracy. Think about it. Democrats aren't perfect, but at least Democrats aren't saying, well, let's figure out ways to suppress the vote so people don't come out and vote. Let's figure out ways to overturn elections. No, they're not saying that. That's the other side. And then you have elected officials. I mean, you even go back to January 6th, the cop the other day on the Don Lemon show. They're doubling down even on that. On what happened January the 6th, that it wasn't an overthrow of the government. It wasn't an attempt coup. There were people hugging and smiling. If you ask Senator Ron Johnson, they were hugging and smiling. There were even older people there. It was just a great, beautiful thing. Just trying to whitewash what happened. Because they agree with what happened. See, that's one thing people have to start talking real. See, that's why I couldn't be on the news. Because I'd be like, look, you agree with what happened. If you can't deny, you can't denounce what occurred, that means you agreed with it. You agreed with the point of trying to figure out a way to get the election overturned. And see, the thing that is so scary about this is the fact that if Kevin McCarthy was the Speaker of the House instead of Nancy Pelosi, I pause, because who knows what would have happened. Thank God our institution stood up. But still right now, they're under attack because you have bills that are going all over the country. These voter suppression bills trying to mask as voter integrity. They got nothing to do with voter integrity. Chris Krebs, Donald Trump's cybersecurity head, who he hired after he was elected to help make sure that the election doesn't get interfered with as it did in 2016. He did his job, saying that this was the most safest and secure election in the history of this country. But he got fired because he said that, because he didn't play to the narrative that the former president was spewing. So he had a fire. Think about it. He fired him so he can keep a lie going. See, that's what we were dealing with in the White House, with the Republican Party. And what do they do now on top of that? All these strongman issues they're trying to get you to, and trying to get you to distract you from what's going on. That Joe's trying to take your beef. Kamala Harris is trying to sell her books to immigrant children. Just lie after lie after lie. And they know it is. It's just flat out misinformation. Same thing with Ted Cruz. Shout out to Joe Cruz. That's one of my best friends in middle school. He has nothing like Ted Cruz. So shout out to Joe Cruz. If he ever heard this podcast, he was a good dude. Shout out to him. But old lying Ted Cruz, as Donald Trump so pleasantly nicknamed him back in 2016, he comes out and says, after Joe Biden announces to Congress, after his speech to Congress, where he was caught falling asleep. So he was falling asleep, right? So see, usually when you're asleep, you're not in a conscious state. So he was falling asleep, but at the same time he says, It was a radical speech. Like, he goes on Fox News, was caught falling asleep. So if you're asleep, you don't even know what they're saying. Because I know when I'm asleep, I don't know what nobody's saying. But at the same time, he heard enough of it, though, while he was in a sleep unconscious state. He heard enough of it to know that it was radical. Then I asked Joe the question. I said, Joe, again. Joe, I'm not talking about you, Joe Cruz. I promise. You my man. I said Joe because I keep saying Joe because I know a Joe Cruz. But Ted Cruz, let me tell you something, Ted. A plan can't be radical when the majority of Americans support it. See, what a radical plan is, a radical plan, it's when something comes from left field that sounds so crazy and insane, usually nobody gets with it unless a small few. For example, let's go on January 6th and run into the Capitol building, try to stop the count and officialize and make the election official to certify the election results. Let's get to Congress and run into the Capitol building. That's radical. Let's have a noose that saying Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence. That's radical. Let's try to get in and get in with force and violence that we beat down a police officer to death, hit him over the head with a fire extinguisher, beat another police officer to the inch of his life while all he's thinking in his head is, my God, what are my four daughters going to do because I'm about to die? That's all he can think of. That is radical. When you don't believe in democracy, in fair and free elections, and you're trying to put laws in place all over the country to stop people of color to vote because you didn't like how they came out, that is radical. An American jobs plan that's going to help tens of millions of people get jobs and get employment in all kinds of areas, not just technology, in all kinds of areas, plumbers, pipe layers. I mean, can people think because new energy means, oh, sophisticated jobs? No, same hardcore blue, what's it called? Blue collar jobs, but they're going to employ so many people. But that's radical. It's radical because it's not what you want to do, because you don't want to see this country thrive, and you definitely don't want to see it thrive because government is making it happen. Because one thing about Republicans, they want to make sure that government is broken, especially when they are in the majority, because if it's broken, people don't believe in it. But at the same time, they want you to pay your taxes. They want you to vote for them. But once they get there to represent you, the job is not to work for you. The job is to tell you a bunch of bullshit so you keep me in here. It's to lie and to scare, to put fear into you. That's what my job is to do. That's how we want to get voted. That's how we want to get elected. Not to appeal to you. We don't care about appealing. We're just going to change the rules and make it much more difficult. No food and no water at voting lines. It's against the law. I mean, they're too far gone. How can you work? How can you get to any bipartisanship? How can you get to any type of progress with both parties working together when one is too far gone? When they don't believe in democracy, they don't believe in helping people. When Tim Scott says to you single mothers out there, we know you're working hard and we're praying for you. No policy, but prayers. What? How do you work with that? I know you can't. Until next time, love everybody, hate no one. This is the Correctly Mistaken Podcast, and I'm your host, your boy Wes Osei. Be blessed. Peace.